welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
How's doing everybody? Everybody doing okay? Welcome if you're here for the first time. We all are. First time I've been here today. I was here quite early. But I'll say come a bit earlier and just set a little bit of time aside. Because it's good to do that. We're all in a very busy lifestyle. I suspect your life is busy. I suspect there's things going on around it. There's things going on within it. And God sometimes just wants to reinforce the be still and know that I am God. You know what I'm talking about. That's just a little phrase in the Bible where in the middle of life, God says, just take some time out. Just make a decision to put everything on hold and hold on to me. Or put everything onto quiet and turn me up to maximum. So I kind of came in here this morning a little bit earlier than usual and just spent a little bit of time just with the Lord. And God wants to heal loads of people this morning. Now, He wants to heal loads of people every morning. Because that's the kind of God He is. He just rocks and rolls and does His stuff. And as we were kind of just engaging and focusing on the Lord through the worship, and I just love the worship. I just wanted to spend just a few moments about worship, particularly if you're here for the first time. Worship, probably the way I understand it, and this might help you, is worship is about giving worth to something. So I use worship in the sense that when I want to really tell Jesus how much I love Him, I don't just want to say, I love you, Jesus. I want to give Him worth. And to do that, I need to make sure that He is the center of my thinking. He's totally filling what I'm looking at. And I'm giving Him the best I possibly can. Doesn't matter whether that's loud or whether it's quiet, whether you're running around or whether you're sat down, because usually that's as a response to what you see. But worship is about worth. It's about, yeah, I want to give Jesus the best and the most that I can right now. He is worth it. Who groaned? And one of the great things about worship is that God has made you and I to live, to function primarily out of what we look at the most. Let's put it this way. If we're constantly looking at the moans and groans of life, what I call the lumps, bumps and grumps, and they are out there, then we become just a little bit more like what we look at the most. If we're into particular kinds of films or movies, and they are out there, and they're very popular, we become a little bit more like the visual expression that we look at, because that's kind of how we were made to work. We were made, you and I were made to work out of what we look at the most. Are you still with me here? If some of us look in the mirror of our life in the mornings, whatever time you get up and whatever state you look like, Stuart, honestly, not your haircut. If I had a hair, I'd have it cut. Is that when you... I forget you're back in school tomorrow, right? And even thought of or not, thank you. Is that when you look at the mirror, when you look at the reflection of your life, what is it that you see? Because one of the things that I'm learning and one of the things which we're learning as people, as church, through our journey in these last few months, particularly if you're here for the first time, is we know that God's Word, His Bible, is indisputable. There's three amens. That's enough for me. I'll just keep going until I get a few more. Is that the Bible does not give you anything. It tells you what you've been given. The Bible doesn't make you anything. It tells you what God has made you. The Bible doesn't get you doing anything. It tells you what you can do. So this is like a button. And this button releases God's response when I read it. If I read it, look at it, then I'm going to respond much more like God wants me to than the world wants me 2. Bringing into this year as a leadership, we just felt right. We want to fuel our faith. And in the book of the Bible, in a book called the book of Romans, it says faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by reading the Bible. Knowledge comes by reading the Bible. Faith comes by reading it so you can hear it. That might be a bit, I like you, you can come back. Reading the Bible so you can hear it. So basically, God has had a conversation and it's called the Bible. This is what God thinks. Then when I'm reading the Bible, I join in with that conversation and it begins to change what I think. And as I'm reading the Bible, inside my head, just find your head. Vanessa, you've got a great hat on. How many of you really love Vanessa's hat? How many of you really wish that you had a hat like Vanessa's? How many of you know that Vanessa hates to be embarrassed at all? She just hates it. You are such a blessing. But when we begin to engage in this conversation, the first thing that we do is that we begin to dialogue with what God thinks. And it may be that what we think isn't what God thinks. Particularly if you don't know Jesus at all, or maybe the Bible is just an old book that gathers dust in your house, I have no idea. Maybe the Bible is something you were forced to read as a kid, I have no idea. Maybe but it's something that one day you might need one, but at the moment it's just holding your door open. I have no idea. What I know is that when I read the Bible, oh, is that time up? Sorry, see you next week. Thanks, hope we had a great time. If you listen on the recording, that was Albert's phone. So the 2,000 people that will listen to this on Monday, it was Albert and he lives in Worthing. I'll tell you his address if you phone me up. We don't want to embarrass anybody here, do we? So when we begin to read the Bible out loud, we begin to hear, A, what God thinks, and B, what we think. Because one conversation you hear, the other conversation only you hear, if you know what I mean. Because it goes on in here. So we have been, every month, we've been encouraging church, everybody across the 3 locations, this one, another congregation in Horsham that's also started at 10 o'clock, and our congregation in Crawley, which has also started at 10 o'clock. We've been encouraging everybody to read one chapter of the book of the Bible every day, not more, so that they know more, but they become wiser people, that they do more. Wisdom is just doing the right thing. Knowledge is knowing what the right thing is. Do you understand that? Because you're pretty smart people. You look to me. I'm pretty good at first impressions. You all look pretty smart. Particularly if you've got a smart. You look quite intelligent. But we've been encouraging church to read a bit of the Bible every day. And like Dan was talking about with United and the kids, is when you read the Bible, have a conversation with God about what he thinks and about what we think. And see who's right. And I'll give you a bit of a clue. It won't be you. So when we're having a conversation, reading the Bible, thinking that God has, one of you is going to be right and it's not you. And it's, okay, God, I need some help to start thinking like you think. And guess what God is going to say? Yeah, I'll give you some help. So this last couple of days, from the 1st of April, and this is not a joke, we've started to read 1 Corinthians. And somewhere on the way out, you can pick up a Bible reading plan, which will help you. But basically, hey, so on the 1st of April, it was 1 Corinthians chapter 1. On the 2nd, it was... I haven't lost you already, have I? It was 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Then on April the 3rd, it was, Frank, you were on it like a car bonnet. I'm glad. So we're going to be reading 1 Corinthians up until it runs out. And then we're going to start 2 Corinthians. You know, because that's, you know, that's really left field. It's like, who'd have thought of doing that? So we're going to do that. And then when we've done that, I think there's one day left. And we're going to read Philemon, because there's only one chapter in Philemon. Is that right, Frank? Me? Okay, we need to get some extra food in. Which is that? Of? Oh, okay. So that's the last day of April. Okay, we're on holiday, aren't we? Well, we are. No, we really are. Sorry. Have a great time, Frank. Whoever you end up with. Anybody want to take Frank and Barbara out for dinner? Oh, Saren does. There you go. Saren's going to take you out for dinner. And Andrew's buying. So we encourage you, and again, whether you know you come here to check out or not, it's interesting. I met one person on the door, and I said, hi, how are you doing? And they said, we've come to check you out. Now, what I didn't say, but what I thought is, well, we've come to check you out as well. But that's because that's what we do. Aren't we funny people? Check it out. And then the second aspect, and this really helps you and I to live with this right kind of thinking, is how many of you know that we need some help? Probably at the moment, you think I really need a lot of help. You only should have thought that, really. For those of you that don't know, my wife's over here, cuddling our youngest grandchild called Flora. And next to her is my eldest daughter, cuddling the second youngest. No. Third youngest. We have seven. I know I don't look old enough, do I? Oh, well done. Thank you so much. I thought if there was a pause there, I'm going to be in trouble. But what I want to just encourage you as well is this. In that room. It's as well as fueling our faith by taking hold of the Bible, and probably more importantly, is letting the Bible take us. Is that God will shape you and shape me out of what he thinks. He wants to shape your life and my life out of what he's planned. He wants to shape your life and my life out of what he has already decided to do. He wants to shape your life and my life out of what he has already done. It's just sometimes we don't realize what he has already done. And we can ask him to do something he's already done rather than living in what he's done. There are these two funny words in English. One is attain and the other one's obtain. When we start reading the Bible, you find that you have obtained all kinds of things because Jesus has won them for you. What I need to do is to attain what God has obtained. So every day, I'm not trying to pressure God. God, please heal me, because God's already healed me. What I'm saying is, God, I want to live and move in your healing today. I don't have to say, God, please forgive me. He knows how much he needs to forgive us, right? What I'm saying is, God, I want to live in your forgiveness. I don't have to say, God, just cheer me up because there's something making me miserable. God has already said, rejoice in all things. Just say all things with me. Do you know that's the shortest verse in the whole Bible? Some of you think, no, it isn't. Jesus wept. It's not in Hebrew, it isn't. It's one less letter. Rejoice always. Take me out. I thank you. That was rubbish. That was good. I thought that was good. Rejoice always is the shortest and probably the most profound pieces of scripture in the whole Bible. Because what it encourages you and I is that we need to begin to think happy thoughts. I have no idea what was going on between your ears when you came in the room. All I know is what God thinks is when you give your life to Jesus, your head is constantly fixed on happy thoughts. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, because we're pretty slow, he says again, I say rejoice. So prayer helps me live the word, but not because of reward, because of faith. I don't know what you felt was happening or what you believe was happening when we just read out the Lord's Prayer. As you, for me, when I where I read this in the two bits of the Bible, in the Gospels, it's the only time when Jesus is asked a question, he gives a direct answer and it's written down. The only other time that Jesus wrote anything down, it was in the sand. And there was a woman having a bit of hassle. She was about to get stoned off her head. She was about to go off her rocker. And Jesus wrote something down, but nobody knows. Those of you that read the Bible, you'll know that. But what was said wasn't said by the sand. It was said by Jesus being the rock. It may be that some of you are here this morning and you might think everything of your life is written in the sand, and you don't like what's written in the sand. You might be looking at that thinking, well, I don't want to live like that. Well, can I just suggest to you that Jesus will come right in today into your sand pit, and he will totally wipe it clean and put instead what he wants you to do. You might just think that your life is a quarry, uphill, downhill, one step forward, two steps back. I have no idea. All I know is that God thinks he will always lead you in triumph. That's not a motor car. It might be. Actually, I thought it was one Accord. That's a Honda. Sorry. I've got to get no lunch today. So we also believe in prayer. And those of you that have been around Kingdom Faith enough, at 9 o'clock, we're here on a Sunday. We're not just saying, there, bless the meeting, Jesus. We're saying, God, you've got to do something. God, we want you to move. We want you to speak. We want you to act, because we can't do anything. All we can do is put the chairs out, turn the PA up to 11, so it's nice and loud. You don't like it loud. All we can do is what we've done, because God says, bring an excellent offering. But when you bring an excellent offering, I will burn it. I will come and touch it. I will come and change it. I will come and transform it, because there comes a point where we can't do what God wants us to do. There comes a point where we can't live how God wants us to live. So he must come and do it for us. That's why also we believe in prayer. The first 7 days of every month, and we're on day 3, we've been encouraging people, let's pray. Let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for our neighbors. Let's pray for our workmates. Let's pray for our enemies, that they begin to get touched by the power and the presence of Jesus in a new way. Let's just begin to pray as a congregation, as 3 congregations, that God touches the 108,000 people that live in Worthing. That he begins to touch the 2.1 million people that live in the southeast of England. Because there's only us. But there's God. And we can either go around thinking, oh, what can I do? Or we can say, actually, God, you show me. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I will know you. And that's a prayer.
Tammy, bless her.
That's a prayer. So if you haven't had the time, or if you didn't know how to, or if you just weren't so motivated, can I encourage you, there's another 4 days of this 24 hours, 168 hours in a week, where we could just want to pray, and we're spinning faith. We know, God, you want to save people because you said it in your word. We know, God, you want to heal people because you've said it in your Bible. God, we know you want to pour out water in a dry and dusty land. Why? Because you've already said so. We know that you want to see Christians in places of influence. Why? Because you've already said so. We know, God, that you want to restore young people and children. Why? Because you've already said so. We're not praying what we think. We might start like to be Lord. And we begin to pray what he thinks. What he thinks works. So there's just 2 reminders there. Bible, it fills our faith. But that faith is released through prayer. God, let your will be done. And please let it start in me. But don't let it end there. Here's a thought. I have a few thoughts. Here's a choice for you. Would you sooner be in an army of lions led by a lamb, or an army of lambs led by a lion? Because I know which one I want to be in. I want to be in an army of lambs led by a lion. Let's put it this way. Jesus is both the shepherd and the lion. And he knows where he's going, and he knows what it takes to get there, and he knows what it takes to get the job done. He's not going to give up. He's not a quitter. I know a lot of lions make a lot of noise, scare a lot of people, have a big mane, but they don't know where they're going because they're led by a lamb. When the lamb hears that the storm is coming, he runs, and the lions run with him. Kingdom Faith, we want to follow the lion. It doesn't matter that we're sheep, as long as we follow the lion. Prayer turns sheep into lion-hearted sheep. Prayer turns weak into strong people. Prayer turns useless into useful people. Prayer turns warriors into warriors. Prayer is the method of engaging with the Word of God so that we speak the Word of God, see the Word of God, live the Word of God. There's nobody in this room that can do something extraordinary for Jesus unless you don't know who Jesus is. In which case, you can give your life to Jesus this morning and you can get involved in this tremendously exciting journey. In the Old Testament, you might have read this earlier in Sunday school or whatever. Is Daniel 11:32 says this, those who know their God are strong and will do great exploits. When we read the Bible, we get to know God and greatness becomes a bit more real. Hallelujah. When we pray, the power of God is a bit more real. Is anybody in the slightest bit interested in this? Because this is exciting. So this month we've been looking at Corinthians, we've been looking at April, we've been looking at Corinthians. There's a few scriptures going to come up behind me. But this Corinthian church, without giving you loads and loads and loads and loads of background, unless you're Colin, because he likes this kind of thing. But this church was not actually a great sorted church. There was all kinds of things going on within the life of it. There was all kind of relational things going on. There was all kind of mixtures between the faith that they did have and the faith that they should have. There was all kinds of conflicts and kind of duties and expectations that these guys were just, they just weren't that great. They started really well. They had a great mission trip, great investment there. They had a blessed time. But God was going to use these two particular books of the Bible to move them from being a blessed people to being a people of blessing. So here's the first thing that you need to get in your head. And this is something that God was really speaking to me about. Is what is church really? Church is this. Church really is those who are sanctified, those that God has made holy. How do you become holy? Only because of God's action. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves acceptable to God at all, which is why Jesus did it for us. Then it goes on and says, we're called to be holy. What does that mean? Holy is another word for clean. We want to live clean. God wants us to live clean. And He's provided a way to make us clean and keep us clean. But that's not just clean with God. That's where it all comes from. But it's about being clean with one another. So the only way I can really, 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 really live in holiness is first understand what that means. What that means is I can't do that. I've got to give my life to you and you've got to give your life to me. And I become holy, the Bible says. But then I need to live this out with somebody else, even people like him. Somehow. So holiness does not mean you have to go and build a tower and live on your own in an island somewhere. It doesn't, St. Lucia, woo-hoo, it doesn't mean that you have to somehow hide from society. What it actually means is God has hidden you within His own life, but now He's going to show you off in the world. Woohoo! God wants to show off what He's done in you and me. Man, just think of it. Who apart from God could change someone like us? I'm being generous. I should have said someone like me. Who on earth
apart from God, could change someone like me and like you. Only God. Not religion. Not fear. Not addiction. God. Then it goes on. With all those everywhere who call upon the name of Jesus. This is what church is. Church is not a Sunday morning in the Sanditon Center. It's a lifestyle which is directly related to the Holy God and directly related out to a holy people like you and me. That's what church is. If you know Christ this morning, you are ready, church. The challenge isn't are we church or not, the question is how are we doing church? So this bit of the Bible that we're going to look at, just the first two or three chapters, Paul is not coming with a big sorted out. I spent a couple of years with you, preaching the best I could, living the best I could, get a grip. He could have used a great big stick and said, sort it out or I'm not coming back and I'm going to scream and scream until I'm sick. Because that's what we'd have done. That's what we do with ourselves sometimes, isn't it? We think, oh, I've blown it. I've just not done what I know I should do. Or I have done what I know I shouldn't do. Or is that just me? In which case, I've just confessed with that. Thank you. We've got some new... been around. Just sometimes we just don't do what we know we should do. So in some respects, Paul is writing to this church, we can apply to ourselves, and we're just going to take a bit of a liberty and do that. But let's just read at this opening few chapters. 1 Corinthians 1, 4-9 says this, I always thank my God for you. That's not... Can I just suggest that right now, however you think you're doing, however closely to Jesus you think you're walking or not, however you think your world is spinning, God is always thanking for you. In the same way as I was saying, let's rejoice in the Lord always, only because whenever God looks at you, he says, you can do it if you're being cute. No, he doesn't say that. He says, yeah, I thank God that you can. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you can move. Jesus, I thank you that you died for them. There isn't the sound of moaning in heaven about you. Do it. Just keep believing. Keep your eyes on me. Just keep. You can do it. You can get there. You can be the difference. You can make the difference. For in him, this is in Christ, you have been enriched in every way. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you are rich. You are rich. You've been enriched in every way, in your speaking, in your knowledge. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Three of us believe that. We might think it, but we've got to begin to respond to what we've heard. The Bible says, you do not lack any. Say any. It doesn't say many. There's any. You don't lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be. As we were praying this morning at 9 o'clock, it's very, very clear that one of the things that Jesus was saying to us as a people, whether you're here for the first time today or not, you are here, is we've got to wake up and start showing who we believe in. So I'm just going to tell you, you might get offended, then repent before you leave, all right? Don't take it with you. You've got to wake up. You've got to wake up and be who God has made you. You've got to wake up and show what God has given you. You've got to wake up and speak what God is to you. Because if we don't do that, how are people going to know? That was what the prayer meeting was like. And last week, and the week before that, and the month before that, and 1,000 years before that, and 1,000 years before that. Come on, let's awake, because we have been given everything. It goes on in this scripture. He will also keep you firm to the end. This is a promise from Jesus himself. He will keep you firm from the end. Oh, I make a mistake. You might do, but I can forgive that. I'm falling. You'll fall, but you won't hit the ground. I think everybody should speak to this lady here because she's. There's either something coming out of her or there's something needs to, but I like it. It's amazing. Encouragement. It goes on because God chose. They chose. God chose foolish things. Come on, men, women. We can identify. Isn't it funny? I'll show you what I mean by funny. Okay, because I'm an engineer, right? I like to know why things work. Andrea, just stay calm. Stay English, right? Just imagine for a moment that this was a white screen. You can't do anything about... Andrea, it's fine. Just enjoy the Lord. Imagine it was a white screen. And then imagine I just snuck up with a really small whiteboard pen and put a little black mark on it. I can guarantee all of you would find the black mark. Let me tell you that every single day there are marks on us, but Jesus will always thank the whiteboard. He'll deal with the black marks out of the whiteboard. We think the other way around quite often. Oh, this bloke's too tall, too thin, too fat, too stupid. Probably all true. But God chose the foolish things to shame the wise. This piece of the Bible isn't in here so that we have it as stupid. It's not. It's actually here to show that with God, we know more than we should. With God, we have a different intellectual process. That's what this is in here for. It's not so, oh, well, I'm just stupid. Give your life to Jesus. He'll make you smart. I've seen it. I've seen people healed of mental illnesses, dyslexia, all kinds of language difficulties, all kinds of... They've just been thinking what they've been looking at. And suddenly they see Jesus and he sets them free on the inside. People had years of torture in the house, physical, language, isolatory, oppression, depression, stuff which if you saw out in the world, you'd say that shouldn't happen. It doesn't happen out in the open first. It happens in the private first. Which is why prayer is important. You win your friends in private, then you win them in public. That was good. Tweet that one. You win them in private, then you win them in public. So God chose you and me. We know we're foolish to shame the wise because when you are praying and following the Holy Spirit, you look smart. Even I look smart. You are lovely. Then it goes on and says this. God chose the weak things of the world and we go around thinking, oh, I'm so weak. Get over yourself. He chose the weak things to shame the strong. You don't have to look like Shane at the back or Arnie Schwarzenegger. You just need to strengthen up the inner person, the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter whether you look as if you're about to fall apart in a good puff of wind. What matters is how strong your spirit man is. Thinking about this is the Bible and this is what it says about me. Are you with me here? Andrew said it's very good. Then it goes on and says this. God chose the lowly things. But not that we would have gutter mentality. I can't go. We all came from the wrong side of the street. Which is why God put a bridge across it. So we could come from our side of the street to his side of the street. His side of the street is called a highway of holiness. Our side of the street is called the life we had. But let me just encourage you, if you've used that bridge to move across from the life you had to the Holy of Hope, he's burnt the bridge. There is no way back. You can't even jump across it, but your head can think you're still there when actually you're here. So God deliberately chose the weak. God deliberately chose the foolish. God deliberately chose the lowly so that everything that God does in you and in me, we know it's got to be God. Doesn't it? Man, if it was down to me now, right now, to be honest with you, I'd be playing with my grandchildren. I would. But it's not down to me. Now. Get our name and number, whatever that is. And that's why it finishes here. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The third aspect, first he's got to think right, worship. We've got to begin to make a bit of a noise. Jesus is alive and it's all right. It's we've got to begin to boast about what God can do. In the last 4 weeks, we've seen somebody blind healed. We've seen someone with cancer healed. We've seen someone that couldn't walk again. We've seen somebody that's just been thrashed through life, called all kinds of stuff, totally set free. Is that exceptional? Only to us, it's normal to God. That's normal. Today is a normal day. Today I know there are at least 5 people that are going to get healed. Why? Because God's already told me. And I know what it is. So I'm excited. I'm waiting till about 25 past and then all kinds of things are going to happen. But actually I also know that some of you are getting healed in your seat. Because suddenly you're thinking it's like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, that's the trouble. We just say, I don't know. Rather than I don't know, Lord, please help me. Lord, I need healing. Yeah. So please heal me. Lord, I need setting free. Yeah. So please set me free. We stop with the pre-knowing Jesus rather than coming into the post-knowing Jesus. Knowing you as weak and feeble. Absolutely. That's why Jesus saved you. I'm just an idiot. Absolutely. That's why Jesus saved you. I'm just hopeless and helpless. Yes. Join the club. That's why Jesus saved you. Chapter 2 says this, my message and my preaching were not the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And that's exactly what's going to happen in a minute. So that healing doesn't rest on someone's ability or someone's quirk, but it's the power of God. It was Jesus who shed his blood for you. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It wasn't the popular people that have healing ministries. It was Jesus who shed his blood for you. But he's already done that. Because God has revealed to us by his Spirit, because the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. I don't know about you, but I want to go deeper with God. Have an extraordinary Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Whatever that it's already telling me, I'm going to tell it something back. Whatever it's trying to impress itself upon me, I'm going to say, no, we're a sent people. Man, we're leaving this Sunday to be sent into this week. We're going to be sent in the Word. We're going to be sent in prayer. We're going to be sent full of the Holy Spirit and power. Week, we're chasing you. We're after you. If there's sick people, watch it. We're going to come and heal you. If there's miserable people, watch it. We're going to come and cheer you up. People are just bound in all kinds of things. Man, we're just going to come and set you free. That's the kind of week I want. Anybody else want a week like that? Some of you coming in here and already you're thinking, oh, that's not me. Stop that thinking. That stinking thinking. If you don't know Jesus, you're right. That isn't you. If you do know Jesus, you're wrong. That is not you. Because you've already read that the. This is what we speak, not in words taught by us with human wisdom, but in taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual reality. I have no idea. Read it and find out what God speaks to you. For who knows the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? What a great question. God, who can put into the head your thinking? The answer is, you can. QD, we have the mind of Christ. There's a problem there, though. Sorry to cut the amen off, because I like the amen. The problem is this, Flora. The problem is this. We do have two minds. One is the mind that we're used to. One is the mind that we've been given. If we live in the mind that we're used to, we live how we used to, even though we don't have to. If we live in the mind that we're given, we live in the mind that we're given. If we have a little bit of a one day it'll be that, one day it'll be this. The Bible says a double-minded man. Norton, you are on it like a car bonnet. Who? Because we're trying to live in something that we weren't made to live in. Chapter 3. A long dialogue here, and this is Paul just explaining about keeping your eyes on Jesus, not just a smart individual. Neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I believe God wants to grow us all today. I believe healthy things grow naturally. Maybe you've known Jesus for a bit. Maybe you don't know Jesus at all. Maybe you've known Jesus for a long time. The question for me is about the length of time. It's about how much have you grown in that time? What I mean by that is not your waistline, but your strength. Strength of spirit, that inner resolve, that sense of, I know what God thinks. I believe what God thinks. I'm going to do what God thinks. That is about growth. It's not about whether we go to all the meetings. It's how we are after them. It's not about whether we go to the men of God. It's about, do we know the God of men? Because God will test everything that we have learned and we've gathered. And it says here, we'll test it with fire. Why? Because he wants us to hold on to the good stuff. He wants you to hold on to the good stuff. He wants me to hold on to the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Why? Because those things last forever. And this is the last kind of thought, this conclusion that I've just kind of come to, and then God's going to heal some people. Is that right? Got time for that? You got time for that? If you haven't, you need to find it. Because sometimes we leave the presence of God because things take dominion that shouldn't do. And the Old Testament teaches us a lot about it's not good to rush in and out of God's presence. And usually we prioritize things. Well, I've got this to do. Sometimes it's just reasons to miss God or excuses for God to miss us. So can I just say, hang around a little bit. Let God finish what he's doing. This conclusion is this. It's 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? If you're a Christian, if you know Christ today, then the Bible says you're not just a temple, you're not just a form for God to fill, but you're sacred. That means that you've been set apart from certain things, and you've been set apart for certain things. What you've been set apart from is sickness. What you've been bondage. What you've been set apart from is infirmity. They're the three key things that Jesus came to set you and me. But also you've been set apart for certain things. And what you've been set apart for is life and health and freedom. So if you know Christ today, yes, you are a temple, but you're not just a temple that God is having to spend hours doing up and getting ready, but you're a sacred, you're a holy temple, and God wants to show the outside of what he's done on the inside of your life. So he's going to heal some people. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, or 5 conditions, it might be more than 5 people, that God is going to heal today. So we'll have the band back up, because they've been sat around listening to me for half an hour, and they just get a bit sleepy. Now, we don't need the band to create an atmosphere for God to move. You don't need that. God's already here. He's already moving. God will move in accordance to how we move right now. So let's just all stand up. If you can, that would be great. I'm not going to get these guys to do anything yet, because it might be that God wants to heal them or somebody else. I have no idea. Now, there's a process going on now. God's already moving, and we've just moved. Well, we've just got up. Yes, I know, but we've moved. If you've been suffering with migraines, and this is cyclical migraines, God is going to heal you with those today. If you have had a pattern of muscle fatigue, which is around the shoulders and the elbows particularly, God is going to heal you with that today. He's just going to set you free. If you've had a sense of numbness in extremities of your body, particularly fingertips or toes, God is going to heal you with that. That's a circulatory issue. Panic attack symptoms. What I mean by that is it comes across in waves. Sometimes it's just, I just don't want to go outside because, into I can't go outside because, into I'm staying indoors because. It can vary, right? Then a lethargy. What I mean by that is that you kind of know what you should be doing. You should maybe just spend a bit more time in Jesus, spend a bit more time maybe reading the Bible, maybe spend a bit more time praying or whatever. But you just don't have the energy to do it, but you do have the energy to do everything else. Do you understand that? Now, there is no condemnation for anybody, but there is freedom available if you want it. So let's just put our hands up. I know that there's at least 5 people with some of these conditions, otherwise God wouldn't have told me. And you can receive some freedom from those right now where you're standing. If you've been someone that's just, I just keep getting these kind of pains in the back of my eyes, between the ears, it's just ibuprofen just doesn't do it. I've been to the doctors and they said, it's just a condition. It might be a condition, but it's not you. It's not you. Don't own it. It doesn't own you. Father, I want to thank you right now for your healing power at work in this room. I thank you that by your blood you have taken our sicknesses, and I thank you that you take this sickness from these people right now. I thank you for freedom, no more recurring migraines, pains behind the eyes, the ears, things that force people to stay in bed. Now, I'm not just talking about a headache, right? I'm just talking about something that's a bit bigger than that. Thank you also for people with muscle fatigue. They just get really weary really quickly. And this aching in the joints. I thank you right now for the blood of Jesus bringing healing and freedom to those people right now. I thank you that you came that we would have life and life in all its fullness. And we loose that fullness in the room today. I thank you as well for those that have had numbness in their fingers, toes. It's felt a little bit like it's just freezing. I just can't feel anything. I've lost sensitivity. I thank you that you restore sensitivity. You restore feel and touch to those areas right now in Jesus' name. I thank you right now for those that have had intimidatory things, just fears, worries, concerns, these panic attack kind of levels. I break those patterns right now in the name of Jesus, and I declare freedom and life to you right now. You shall not fear, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. My responsibility is to tell you what I think God is telling me. It's your responsibility to now have this conversation in your head. Yeah, that's me. That's my healing. I'm having that. That's what Jesus has done for me. I'm taking that. Don't have the conversation, oh, is that me or not? But if you've got the condition, God wants to set you free from it. That's non-negotiable. Just keep receiving. somebody here and you've just had such a low sense of worth. It's come from many, many months, years even, of being told certain things, being put in certain situations that you've been set up to fail in. God is saying today, I break that pattern. I don't give birth to failures but to successes. You are a successor. I trust you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. I'm going to turn around your future. It is not a product of your past. And today, if you want to, cross that line from past failure to future success. Yeah, you're going to have to learn to trust me and follow me, but I've called you. I've called you to shame the wise. I've called you to be the strong person. I've called you to be the smart person. I've called you. It's you. This is for somebody that's here for the first time today. You've got family. And I just feel in my heart that, you know, you've had some time when they used to come and worship with you. They used to spend time with Jesus with you as family. But they haven't been doing that for a while. God just wants you to restore your hope. That because you are blessed, they will be blessed through you. As you just pray and believe and trust in Jesus, He is moving on your behalf. He has a promise concerning you, which is the Holy Spirit is for you and your household, your children and your children's children. For those who are near and those who are far off. That's what God is saying about you. Keep the hope alive. Keep the hope alive. This hope is not some promise that may or could or should happen. This hope is a person. And this person is called Jesus Christ. And this hope never disappoints. Is anybody thankful at all in the room for what God's doing? Oh, I am. I'm excited. That doesn't sound very thankful to me. I don't wish to moan, but I've heard more thanks when someone scored a goal. Hallelujah. God, I don't want to rush out of the presence of the Lord. I know time is going, but time is time. I'll sooner spend time in the presence of the Lord than not in the presence of the Lord. If you have a sickness, because maybe you just came with a pain or a moan or a groan, or maybe you're thinking, oh, well, God, you didn't say you wanted to heal me. Yes, He did. He said it a couple of thousand years ago and it said, it is finished, it is done. My paraphrase is, I'm going to heal anybody that believes in me. So don't worry if God hasn't specifically said what you're carrying. If you want to be healed today, just come up the front. Because we're going to pray for you and God's going to heal you. Just come, just move. Just move. If you're just carrying, it's like, yeah, there's something. I don't want to go home with this. Then don't go home with it. Today's your day. We're here to see God work. We're not here to fill a 90-minute program. Well, I'm going to get some of our leadership guys out here. They're anointed. They're filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Hallelujah. This is Andrew. This is Richard. Dan's getting beaten up by the young people. I don't know where he is. But in this church, we don't pray for the sick anymore. We heal the sick. So what I want you to do, if you haven't moved, that's fine. But I do want to ask you to do something. I want you to have a conversation with whoever's around you. And say to them, is there anything that we need to see God do right now? Is there anything that we need to see God touch right now? Because we want to pray and see God move. Conversation with the people around you. Richard's going to come out and just start praying for some people. Just have a conversation on your own. Is there something that we need God to do? And if there is, let's agree that God's going to do it right now.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.